Well, yes, I am here with my friend again, Scott Wakefield.
Good afternoon.
Who wants to, I'm sure, debate concerning his recent blog posts.
Which you agreed with.
I read. I don't know if I agree with them.
You told me that you agreed with me.
Well, the question we had a couple of weeks ago in a little time over dinner, and you've subsequently tried to respond to that question.
I did.
Uh-huh. And the question was, okay, so someone realizes that they are in Christ, Christ in them. They have the revelation. They come and ask, what do you do now? And that is what I will present to you again in our conversation today. What say you, Scott? How would you help a certain person who's wanting more explanation?
So I get put on the front burner, front and center.
You bet. You bet. You've written on it several times. Now, defend yourself.
But you're the one who presented the original question.
Yeah, well, it's well, sort of came up, and I expected that you had you. Well, you said you had the answer, so.
Yeah, but you agreed with the answer, so.
Yeah, but you didn't have the answer.
I don't think there is really. You know, first, the question I would ask, you know, that person is, how did you even come to the realization of the, of what you're, or the knowing that you're, that mm-hmm. you're feeling now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because for me, it was, it took a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like some instantaneous, you know, aha moment.
Mm.
It was more of a process of knowing, of coming to realize.
Okay.
Through the teachings that I've had, you know, throughout my life from the mainstream church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of those things started to, you know, really not make that much sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I, you know, started to realize that, yeah, hey, you know, long about that time when you started to, you know, just, you know, to speak some of the, of your knowing,
mm-hmm.
you know, to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize, hey, there's something different here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, that in part, I agree with. It is a process, and it seems to be different. Your revelation is certainly not like mine.
Mm-hmm.
And in our little community people that we share with every weekend, I would dare say not a one of those are similar.
No, I think everybody has their own pathway to
mm-hmm.
how
mm-hmm.
they get the realization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're,
and that's what I would want to know firsthand is, are you sure that you're, mm-hmm. this is what your, mm-hmm. what your true mm-hmm. heart is?
Yeah. Yeah. Partly for me, my first inkling of this revelation, you know, I've shared in my writing, and I'm sure in some of our other podcasts, the fact of reading for the first time, like Cheerios, you know, or Wheaties, whatever it is, you eat them again for the first time. When I read the verse in Colossians 1:27, where Paul says, the secret is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The expectation.
Yes, now we're seeing that word is a more sure thing than just a hope. But
I think it's more of an accurate explanation of what it is.
Exactly. And so for the sake of our listeners, we're referring to A.E. Knox translation, the Concordant Literal New Testament, for that verse. And we recommend anyone who is wanting to see a really, really good translation from the Greek, that would be one to go to. But when I read that Before even getting a hold of or being exposed to Knox translation, I had read it just simply in our traditional English, and it just whatever reason, it had never occurred to me in this way before.
Mm-hmm.
And so from that point on, now I couldn't look at that verse the same. It's sort of once you've seen the other side, on the other side of the door, and what seems to look better on that side, you don't like what you've always, or you don't care to stay where you've always been.
I get interested in the first when you were still serving as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
When you first came across those verses, like Galatians 2:20. Mm-hmm.
2:20
and Colossians. Mm-hmm. And you know, there had to have been that moment, you know, where you know the bell rang and said, hey, there, mm-hmm. there's something different here than what I've been taught.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I think Scott, the first verse that God used to bring the revelation for me was Colossians 1:27. I don't know. Perhaps Galatians 2:20 was later for me. I don't mm-hmm. know where that was in your connection. I believe you'd say Galatians 2:20 was one of your first.
Yeah, because that's one of the first ones that you shared with me about the mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. about you know what we were you know what you were trying to show me.
Mm-hmm. Now there are several others, and probably later for me was the John 14:20. That passage, after I had realized Colossians 1:27, the impact of the revelation of Christ in me, then John 14 as a whole made more sense.
Yeah.
Understanding it from a whole different paradigm.
I can just imagine you as being a pastor in that capacity,
mm-hmm.
you know, and realizing that these verses have a different meaning than what you mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. what you've been mm-hmm. trained to accept.
Right. So I forget, was it 2010 or 20? Yes, I believe somewhere in 2010 is when I had that first revelation. And so since that time, things have been just growing and growing and opening up and unfolding more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are. In our conversation today, we've had, several years of this conversation, right?
Yeah.
And
one thing I appreciate, you know, with your sharing that truth with me is that you never threw scripture at me.
Well, but it was scripture.
Well, yeah, but you didn't make it seem that way.
Okay.
It was like, you know,
how does scripture not be scripture?
But you see, and that's one of the pet peeves that I have with some people in the religiosity in the mainstream church is
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever situation comes out, the first thing they'll do is they'll start throwing scriptures at you about this is what God commands, this mm-hmm. is what we mm-hmm. what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, I get it, but you know, show me something with meaning, you know.
Well, the Bible has always been the proof text, or let's say you find the proof text within the Bible for anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
What made this so different is that for me, the same verses that have always been used to support a system of thought, a doctrine, all right, or a systematic doctrine, that mm-hmm. same set of scriptures now take on a totally different meaning.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like God saying, here, the same verses that are used to support this other line of thinking or perspective or paradigm, I want you to see the other side. I want you to see how I really meant for it to be interpreted. This is what I'm really saying
Yeah. Because so, we can have the scriptures, and you're right, where the scripture does have different explanations for anything that we go through and encounter. I mean, I agree with that, but it's mankind. We're the ones who have distorted the scripture. And as far as religion and as far as mainstream church goes.
Right. So it's pretty obvious someone who is just receiving this revelation of Christ in them, would you send them back into the institutional church?
I would honestly have a hard time doing that.
Okay.
And the next question that would arise, or that would come up, is, well, if they have this revelation and they need to hear more about the truth about who Jesus really is, they're not going to find it in the mainstream churches that we know of.
Okay.
Where they're going to find it is through the personal experiences of people like you and me, and then, a couple of the other people that we in our group who have been there, who have been through
it. Right. Well, yes, and
we have the other. I think Frank Viola has written some. I know Grubb has, and those are a couple of resources that we can throw out there.
Yeah, I would send someone, as I have before, very, very, without any hesitation, I would send them to Grubb.
Yeah,
if they want for the reading material, there are a lot of other more recent authors who are what you might say proteges of Grubb, and they're growing the number of those people out there.
Well, you can always give them the link to my page too.
Well, certainly. Yes, we'd be happy to have anybody jump on either of our publications, the Knowing Jesus, your blog. A couple of different words or acronyms you can use to Google these resources. One would be Christ as Us. That's a very popular one. Zerubbabel Press or Publications is another, and they carry all of Grubb's material, all of the other writers that are similar to Grubb. And there are a number of others more contemporary even than that. So, we hope that if anyone is curious, they'd reach out to us, and you can find us. This podcast, you link and our emails will be there for you to give us a line. But it's out there.
Still attending church. Grubb and his writings was something that I never even knew existed.
Exactly. I didn't either up until 2002, I think. Is about when I discovered Grubb, or even maybe later than that, but it was an eye opener to me.
Did you ever have any conversations with any of the other pastors on staff about the revelation you were?
No, and because a couple of things. Number one, it was still in the formative, the formative stage in my heart, in my spirit. I wasn't really able to articulate what I was seeing and knowing.
Right.
And so that's, again, some of the reason for my book, that finally I'm at a place where I can say, I can now put what I know in my heart into some words. But at that stage, it was too primitive, too early, premature.
Mm-hmm.
And the other reason is that I really didn't feel free to spread a heresy, if you will, because that's essentially what it had been.
You know, I can laugh about something like that, but it's true.
Mm-hmm.
In every respect, you know, if you're mm-hmm. in a position as you were, mm-hmm. you have to be careful what you're
espousing. See, Scott, the progression of this was even before coming into a fuller revelation of Christ in me, the revelation of Christ being preeminent and central to everything was really becoming clear in my mind. And this is where you mentioned Viola, his book with Sweet on the Jesus Manifesto. Mm-hmm. That book probably opened my eyes more than any other to the centrality of Christ and how Christ is missing in his church.
Yeah.
And so I was espousing that need within our circle, and I'd get this shake.
Jesus, the guy that we always talk about on Sunday morning.
Right. Which we don't. And I believe what I really found true was Viola's premise that probably you could count on one hand the number of times Jesus had actually, the word actually had been spoken from the pulpit on any given Sunday.
Yeah.
And he called it the Jesus deficit disorder. That here we have the church that's built around Jesus and we never talk about it. It's all about everything else. So Christ,
Christ is the leader of the church.
Exactly. So I made that statement to our senior lead at the time, and he pretty well dismissed me. No, I don't agree with that. Christ is central. Christ is everything. But obviously, I wouldn't be making the point if there wasn't some question. Mm-hmm. See, the church makes it all about all everything, but except the one person. So that had been prior, and I had had some experience trying to deal with that revelation, then going into the fuller revelation of Christ in me.
Yeah.
I knew, you know what, this likely, unless God opens the door, is not the place where I'm going to get to be able to share this revelation.
You see, back in the day, even though it wasn't that long ago, I still like to say back in the day, because it makes me feel younger.
Right.
Back in the day, you had books like the Jesus Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
You had, you know, some books by Grubb that you mm-hmm. turned to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you could possibly refer someone to.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, Maya, what I was thinking about this week, and this series is only, as you and I know, has only been out for a short time. But if I was to encounter somebody who had that realization as I have,
mm-hmm.
I'll refer them to the Chosen series.
Okay. All right. What makes you say that? What about the Chosen? What is it you like about it?
With the Chosen series, you start to see the human side of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You start to see Jesus as he wanted people to see him.
Mm-hmm.
Not as the religious figure that the Pharisees and the teachers mm-hmm. propped up, saying mm-hmm. this is the way the Messiah should be.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But as you know, the Jesus who loved God's children, mm-hmm. Jesus mm-hmm. whose only desire was that people would come to him.
Mm-hmm. Limited number of episodes I've seen, I will agree. It brings the character of Jesus out in a way that mm-hmm. it's not typical with most of your Jesus films, church Jesus kinds of filmmaking. Yeah. He's always pictured as just a little bit a step above our normal humanity, like as if he doesn't even go to the bathroom or something. He has this magical sense that he's just above everything else that goes on and is not in touch with, you know, the humanness of our plane. And I believe that they've done a really good job bringing that character back into the framework of he's just a ordinary, common, everyday man.
I remember one of the scenes, you might have seen this one, where he's sitting amongst a group of children.
Yeah.
And, you know, and speaking and teaching the children.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he tells these kids is that he asks them the question. He says, what if everything that we've been taught on how to treat others is wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. So now when you say this about this is the chosen and, you know, how they reflect Christ, how is that going to assist someone who has a revelation of Christ in them? Where's the connection there?
They're going to see Jesus the way that he is.
Okay.
You know, the way he desires for people to know him.
Okay. But now the revelation of Christ in you, make that transition for me. So here you have Jesus.
I didn't get that connection when I first got the revelation.
Okay.
Yeah, that came a little bit later.
Well, all right, but here you have the chosen, which is trying to depict Jesus in really the raw humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that picture of Jesus helpful in terms of understanding how he lives in us as us?
I think it is.
Okay, explain. What can you elaborate on that?
Well, you hit the nail on the head a few minutes ago, and you said he lives like we do.
Okay.
He's just a normal, ordinary person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Who, you know, he's back then, and I would assume that he lived his life the way that anybody else would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, for me, Scott, this was a big, a big hurdle. Growing up, as I said, my picture and understanding of Christ was that he was just not totally similar to us. Yes, he was born as a man, but everything I'd read, everything I've seen, always characterizes him as just a little bit different. You know, he wasn't so sick. He didn't have to work. He didn't have to, you know, these kinds of things. He could walk on water. So he always pictured him as just a cut above. And so understanding how he could live in me, who has to face all those things, who imperfect, I couldn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I realized and began to see another Jesus, this Jesus who is no different in my frailty and imperfections. And we've talked about this before. Was Christ imperfect?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's a verse. What, you know, was the verse out there that we discussed or mentioned? Was it last week? The description of Christ is that he was nothing fancy to look at. He was just
no. In fact, the book of Isaiah pictures him as not even, he's not attractive. Not attractive to look at. I forget the word. It's some similar to uncomeliness.
Yeah,
he didn't have any attraction, and certainly not someone you would look to as being, oh wow, you know, Messiah in the making, not at all.
Right.
But when I got a hold of the fact that Christ was that simple human no different than I, that he was, yes, God in flesh, just as how God is in my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing how he as spirit, yes, has no problem living in my frailty.
Another one of the films that, you know, that kind of helped me with that is The Shack.
Ah, yes, good old Shack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it still kept Jesus as kind of, you know, above us,
mm-hmm.
we still got to see that human side. And I mm-hmm. think that's, you know, that's another resource that I would suggest mm-hmm. for someone.
Yeah. Yeah. The Shack probably does, a really good job of breaking down some of the stereotypical views of God, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. It really does a good job with breaking open those boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now you were trying to explain in one of your blog posts that it was a matter of understanding Christ or in terms of having a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I was then accused by you of
it's probably a baseless accusation.
I asked you if you could explain this revelation without using church words.
Oh, so you instigated. Okay. What do we classify as church words?
For one, relationship with Jesus is a church word.
Yes, but so is God loves you and Jesus died for our sins. Those are church words as well.
Well, those latter phrases actually have basis in Scripture, but a relationship with Jesus has no basis in Scripture.
So, yeah, but they're still church words.
Well, yes, really, that's where it comes from.
We can't cherry pick the language
here. The whole phrase relationship with Jesus is a man-made phrase. It does not occur in the Scripture.
No, I agree with that.
And so I was taking
how do you become one with Jesus as he claims in John 17
mm-hmm.
without having a relationship with him?
But see that we have to think not in those terms. Don't use the word relationship.
That all sounds too Pharisee school to me. And
if anything's Pharisee school, it's the word relationship. Okay, so you have like
our friend David said, you know, how do you have a relationship with a dead guy?
Well, right. Now, here is a person who hasn't any acquaintance with God much at all. And then is introduced to Christ, but his only bearing is that, well, the Jesus that you're talking about, isn't he dead? Didn't he die? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what he called trying to have relationship with a dead guy. But even the term relationship, how can we get away from that? Because what that connotes is that we are we're having this connection with another person. We have this like a marriage, this man and a woman, or friendships between humans. Those are called relationships.
How can you?
Is that true with God?
Well, I would say no, but we're also created in His image, so there is that connection that we have.
Okay, but let's see. We go beyond the paradigm.
When we try and put it into terms, and yes, mm-hmm. which what I did was I probably tried to put it in terms that people could understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shot down by Brother David when he first tried to have a relationship with Jesus. But I still think that it was an effective way to describe
when people are first getting acquainted with Jesus. It is true, in kind of the kindergarten phase, what we call the baby stage, it is kind of like daddy and baby and daddy and parents. So the child is getting used to understanding that there are other beings in his life and that he can depend on them. But now if we move to the next level of revelation, of knowledge of God, this is the level we call sonship, in that there is no longer in terms of me and that person, but now that person and I are joined as one.
You were joined at the beginning level as well.
Yes, you were, but your awareness was not there yet. Your infancy won't allow you to understand that.
So at the sonship level, do we still get to use church words or no?
That's where we put away childish terms, church terms.
You're gonna have to publish your dictionary of things that we can and cannot.
But you got a point. Yeah, what I find people are having the most difficulty with in growing in this revelation and trying to help them is to move away from the stereotypical ways that we used to talk about God and ways we used to understand God, and especially Jesus and his life in us. We've moved into a whole different realm now. And no longer these terms, relationship, friendship, he walks with me, I talk with him. These kinds of things are what we used to use. And they are terms that we realize no longer fit in the paradigm of understanding his unity or his life in me, living as me.
Yeah, you try walking into some church these days and try saying, hey, I talked with Jesus this week.
Well,
and then see what, yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to be unusual. They'll say, well, good for you. And some will say, well, that's nice that you get to. I wish I could. So that's typically what goes on in that crowd. But talking, getting to a level where you don't see yourself as waiting for that other person or corresponding with them as two different entities. You're now synonymous in your thoughts. You're synonymous in your feelings. And so now this is a whole new level of discovery. It's a whole new paradigm on how to live your life and how to be aware of who you are in your environment. Mm-hmm. You're living the unity with God, living as one, is something, as you mentioned, the church has never been able to articulate. And if
they did articulate it, it wouldn't be in their best interest.
Exactly. And or they would say that's off territory or out of bounds and heretical, because it borders on, for most of the church teachers, they would consider it bordering on mysticism or at the very most, kind of a pantheism.
Yeah.
But this is the reality. And now we're learning to use a different language. Mm-hmm. And this is where we have to, I guess, go back to the one who broke this whole paradigm for us, who is Paul. He's the one who really introduces us to the concept of being one with Christ.
Well, Paul didn't leave us with any dictionary of correct terms and words that we can use to describe them.
Well, I disagree. He didn't codify a dictionary as such. He didn't index the terms. But if you read his epistles, you realize there are some phrases and terms that he does use repeatedly. And those should become very familiar for us. The very, you know, Christ in you, the expectation mm-hmm. of glory. Hidden in Christ, in God, that's another.
See, even you have a tough time figuring it out.
Well, there's many others too, and my brain's in a fog. One of the results of this current virus. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying? We now need to use a different set of terms, and the old terms that we talked to or shared with new believers and people just getting to know the dead guy, Jesus, those don't work anymore.
How do you get to know a dead guy?
Well, that's the point. There's not much to know. Was he nice? What did he say this? Did he say that?
Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows. Yeah. So aren't you finding yourself having to retrain and reschool yourself with?
Well, I think I'm finding myself having to reprogram my spell checker on my computer so it doesn't come up with any terms that are, mm-hmm. you know, not allowed by the thought Nazis.
Isn't it interesting? Yes, I agree with you. Some of the things that in your writing and you want to use a term right out of scripture. Yeah, the English language has not been used to those terms itself. And I find that fascinating. Now, how the English language is so tied to our theology, to Christianity in terms of its overlaying doctrine, its theology.
And as far as directing somebody who wants to learn more mm-hmm. about this revelation that you and I both have mm-hmm. or have experienced, there's not that much out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've shared a couple of the video resources, the Shack,
yeah,
and the Chosen series mm-hmm. that I've run across.
Okay.
I haven't read much of Grubb's stuff, but you know, I've read enough that I know that he was pretty much on point about what was mm-hmm.
okay.
What we talk about.
I could suggest, as another couple have attested, that they benefited greatly in coming to a growing knowledge or further knowledge of Jesus in them by watching our conversations, our recorded conversations out there on YouTube.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've asked the one individual, the gal, if she would care to go back and index. And she just did that. And I was amazed. There's some 70 plus episodes, and indexed them by course date and topic. I realized a powerful resource to send anybody just to watch and pick up terms, pick up greater understanding in the conversation. I think conversation, listening or actually being a part of a conversation, is a powerful tool, even far better than, say, listening to a teacher or someone babble on and on. You feel like, okay, maybe this, I sort of understand. But in a conversation, there's much more of a parlay, much more of a give and take and questioning and back, just that interaction. And so people really learn more. It's powerful. Mm-hmm. It greatly helped this couple as they watched. They couldn't finish. They had to watch them all.
Yeah, I usually have that effect on people.
you're such a, just a star.
Yeah, it's 70 episodes and counting, and I'm still there.
You're still there. Well, and we can, Scott, send them to the Jesus Conversations podcast. Mm-hmm. How many have we thrown up there? I know there's been others now. We've been adding Sunday morning to the podcast index as well, but you and I have had half dozen conversations that are posted out there. Mm-hmm. And those are great resources. That was my hope in recording. Yeah. And one of the ones that I refer to that I really think people ought to listen to is your personal testimony. What did we title it? This isn't who you are. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
I think we need to revisit another podcast just to go over that one.
I'd send you back and listen to your own testimony. It was powerful.
I don't see mine as being that. I consider it a low point because I went through it.
Okay.
And I was the guy who was, you know, in the trenches, mm-hmm. suffering through all these things. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I came out the better, you know, the better person for it.
But. Okay. So you were, as you say, it was your revelation of Christ in you, and which we call the evangel, the secret. Mm-hmm. Colossians 1:27, the secret, right? You seeing the secret, and it was progressing. But what happened on the night when you came to even a more startling revelation? Did that confirm, add to, or increase this knowledge of Christ in you?
What revelation?
As you had walking up to the door of that.
One of the reasons that I don't like really discussing that much is because there's still, you know, people still get kind of a negative view of somebody who's, mm-hmm. who's been in those situations.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there, you know, that was part of the addiction that I had.
I'm sure.
As okay. I've shared with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, I'm not proud of it.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be proud, but you don't have to hide it either. I mean, that was part of your whole life.
But I
your old identity.
And there I was, you know, just normal night for me, walking into the place where I found entertainment or found mm-hmm. my desires met partially. And mm-hmm. I didn't even get inside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as I came up to the door, it was like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Exactly. What am I doing here? You know, this isn't how I was, you know, how I was raised. It's not how how I'm supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
all these things just came flooding back to me. It's like, because my mom really had a negative opinion of pornography and that.
Oh, sure. She couldn't help it. Yeah.
And I thought about, wow, what would she do if she knew what I was doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and she did. You know, she's, you know, there was a couple of times where she did find out where I had been going, and, you know, to see, you know, how it made her feel.
Mm-hmm.
That was another thing for me. It's like, no, I can't put her through this. This isn't how I'm, that's not mm-hmm. how I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be.
Yeah. So that was a, call it what you will, it was certainly an awakening, a greater revelation of who you are and who you're intended to be. Whether you actually made the equation as to that person being Christ in you or not, but I dare say that was a huge leap for you and changed and put you on a course far different than you had up to that point.
Yeah, it was you might, yeah, you probably could say that I went from Footloose and Fancy Free to Guided by Another Vision.
That was good. It was awesome. Yeah. So those kinds of things, those trail markers are helpful for other people to listen to or to watch.
Yeah.
And I hope they do find your story out there on our podcast. I don't remember. It's way back. One of the early ones in 1920 or 2020.
I would still like to do I'd still like us to do a podcast on overcoming an addiction like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because I think I could offer some encouragement and some hope to, you know, to people who are,
mm-hmm,
even now, you know, in that struggle.
Sure. No, I'm certain you can. What a powerful revelation, life lesson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the thrill for me was seeing you have that revelation as another step in your growth and knowledge of Christ in you.
Yeah.
Every day, God's intending circumstances in our lives to help unfold more and more of who we are.
So you don't just see me as an obnoxious son of a gun anymore?
You're going to put me on the spot? You have to be so forthright about it?
Hey, someone's got to keep you on your toes. I feel in when Fulton doesn't.
Yeah. Now, got a great friend, Scotty. And I'm grateful for now we can use relationship because we're two different persons in flesh. So we have this friendship, kinship, and mm-hmm, this relationship. And so this relationship has grown and it's flourished in many ways. There's been some mutual encouragement both ways. You've been a great encourager to me, just in the fact of, as I mentioned, just watching what God is doing in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And watching that little episode occur in your life, wow, spoke to me. It's, yes, this is confirmation to me. God, you are in the process of bringing us all to a greater awareness. And for Scotty, that was a marker, a hurdle. I have some other hurdles. God, mm-hmm, you know what they are. And all of that is to bring more and more awareness. So a person who's just stepping into this their eyes are open to this revelation. What can we say to them other than just hang on for the ride?
Yeah, just we never know what the next day is going to bring.
Yeah.
When I woke up that morning, before I went to that place that night, I mean, I had no idea that I was going to experience what I did.
Right.
You know, that was just my time.
You'd been having the conversation with myself and some other guys, and mm-hmm, the conversation wasn't about how do we know what are the signs of Christ living in us, and we were dealing with these truths and trying to unpack them. And so here comes an example, a circumstance where God says, well, this is how you know, Scott. Boom.
Yeah. And Jesus says, you know, I'm gonna live here in you, but we don't need this other stuff.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Our good friends, their eyes, I've mentioned we just did a podcast with them, and I encourage everyone to listen to that with Andy and Chrissy Kuntz, their testimony is incredible.
From all that Andy's come through.
Oh yeah. And they had, I just took a chance and to see whether their hearts were ripe and ready for this truth. And boom, it was. And they've just taken off. And do they have questions? Yes, they would be the first to say in response to our conversation today, yes, they're hungry and growing as all of us are, and eager to continue having conversation. And I guess my point for anyone who is just stepping into this, find some people that you can be in conversation with. Find some people, listen to some people. Reading is great, but I think having at least one-on-ones with people that you see or believe are experiencing some of the same things you are.
All right, I'll go out and find a couple of girls that I can.
Did you say girls or squirrels?
No, it's the same girls. I can't use the same girls that I see at the gym because I don't think that they're ready for
those girls. Yes, yeah.
They're not ready for the revelation yet.
They're not. But are you? You're probably seeing people who you believe are, and you're waiting for that door, that window to open up, and for you to be able to just to say, okay. You want to know? Here it is.
Every time, Dennis, that I hear somebody in conversation, you know, saying that they're tired of church, they're tired of the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
I think about, yep. Well, yeah, there's somebody who is desiring to hear that there's something else there.
I'm with you, Scott. There are so many frustrated, discouraged Christians out there.
Mm-hmm.
And just at the point of bailing on the whole thing, but something's deep inside telling him, no, don't jump. But at the same time, being so frustrated, well, what is there? I'm no longer happy with the same old stuff that I'm hearing on Sunday morning or listening to on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I listen to Alistair Begg in the mornings because you know it's either that or you know some other news station on the radio. But it's like I'll get the Christian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not only that, but Alistair Begg kind of gives me a couple good points to write about every now and then. Hey.
Well, hey, nothing wrong with that. That's it. God can use those voices.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you're hearing some of the same old stuff, something clicks in you the way you hear it or combines it with something else that's going on in your mind or your spirit. Yeah. And you take it and say, okay, there's another example or something else I can run with. But
well, I can't listen to most sermons these days without, you know, without being able to tell, hey, you know, there's something wrong there.
Yes. You know, and so I guess our word of encouragement to any new.
And I blame you for that.
Yeah. Any new followers in the secret is just get used to it. You're ruined. You're ruined. You can't find yourself going back into church. Can't find yourself going to the same old Bible studies, listening to the same online preachers.
Can you imagine how many local pastors now consider you to be a heretic? In the
you know, I'm sure there are a lot. I'm sure. But that is so far away from my concern. No, it's just as of little concern to me. because of the joy that there is in knowing Christ. It's living as me, and I have the realization of him as me. As you've quoted Galatians 2:20, my eye is no longer, that eye is no longer around.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm living, but it's not that I, it's Christ.
That's one of the misbeliefs, I think, that we fight against, besides the thousands of years of Christian teaching,
mm-hmm.
is we're dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is no individual anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is part of the
new paradigm. You try and explain that to somebody, mm-hmm. it's like all mm-hmm. you get is a blank stare.
Yeah. And this is part of the revelation, this is the area that needs to unfold in this new revelation. And it'll come. It'll be there. And it is part of getting that whole picture of how much we were in Christ, and when he died, we all died. And mm-hmm. when he rose, as God says, right out of Paul's words, we rose with him, and that's who we are now, is hidden in Christ.
Yeah.
And he is our life. Boy, yeah, that by
far, that word's individualistic stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and so keep doing the good writing.
Oh, now it's good.
Yes. What are blogs for?
Aren't a couple they of days for, ago, you said you had a bone to pick with me.
Aren't they for debating?
And critiquing, yeah.
Critiquing and debating, yeah. But here again, that's the conversation. Mm-hmm. That's how we grow. That's how we get to a full understanding. We ask questions of each other. We disagree, agree, see it differently.
I would be happy if people from our group, would leave comments on my page about, questions, anything else they'd have.
So why don't you bait them? Why don't you say a free can of pop for every comment. Send in your comments and redeem them for, come up with the price, God.
You know how long it takes me to pay back some of these things.
You got it. You're good for it.
Or you could tell them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Or you can mention and say, hey, mm-hmm. Anybody who has any comments or about mm-hmm. about the page, go ahead.
Leave a comment, and good for one free, whatever you want to say.
Can we just forget the incentives for the?
All right, my brother.
By the way, I was going to mention this to you and Shirley about the Costco thing. Have you run across these yet?
Well, hey man, let's call it let's call it a day. Thanks for your time. Keep up the good literary work.
Well, you'll get another Pulitzer worthy submission tomorrow morning.
Okay, so I trust you. I'm anxious to see now what you're going to write after our little discussion here today. So what eye-opening things or revelations came to?
I got some more church bashing stuff to take care of.
All right.
If all else fails, I can always fall back on that.
Right on, man. All right.
All right.
Take care.
Okay.